You're listening to a feed of the Association of Music Podcasting at musicpodcasting.org.
What's up, everybody? This is Danny Catastrophe from The Pills, and you are listening to Insomnia Radio Detroit.
And now, from Motor City, USA,
Detroit, Michigan,
spinning the best local original music and giving it to the world, this is Insomnia Radio Detroit. And now, your host for Insomnia Radio Detroit, Les Zaldor.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to another Insomnia Radio Detroit. This is episode number 22. Hope you guys enjoyed episode number 21 with Electric Six, Dick Valentine. I had a great time talking to him, and hope you guys enjoyed the interview as well. This episode is going to have another interview with a great Detroit band. This band is called The Pills, P-I-L-Z. Well, they'll talk about the interview. The Pills are comprised of Danny, Pagan, Venom, and then since the interview I did with them, they added a drummer. They got a new drummer. His name is Lord Zozo Bean. So I haven't seen him with the new drummer yet. Looking forward to seeing them, checking out them out real soon. Go check out their MySpace page at myspace.com/thePILZ. See pictures of them, some videos as well, and also these same songs you're going to hear in this episode tonight are going to be on their webpage. So if you're in the Detroit area, be sure to check them out. They're playing all over the place. They got a couple gigs coming up real soon in November and December and also January. I hope to see them real soon. I definitely have seen them once already, and they're great live. They opened up for Broken Day Machine when they had their CD release party back a few months back. And this interview was about a month ago. Sat down in Pagan's house. Great time there. And had a good time chatting with these guys. So do the song real quick and then get right into the interview. The name of the song we'll do right now is Before Your Eyes, and then we'll get into the interview, and then the other two songs will be within the interview. So enjoy. This is The Pills, Before Your Eyes.
Sit here with The Pills, P
PILZ.
Correct.
From Royal Oak, Michigan, or actually all over Metro Detroit. Yeah. Right?
Royal Oak, Grosse Pointe.
Got Venom, Pagan, and Danny from the band.
Exactly.
Hi.
Hi.
So how did the Pills get started? How long have you guys been together?
Well, didn't start out... Well, the Pills have been together for about a year. Okay. I met Paul, this will be like going on 3 years as well. The story of me and Paul meeting.
Now, Paul
was
is pagan.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I told you not to
all
do
right.
that.
Sorry. I met, well, you weren't pagan then. You were just Paul then.
Oh, that's
I
right.
I was just Danielle. So, met out at the bar. He was with a friend of a friend, and of course, some cocktails are flowing. It's late. I find out he's in a band. I told him I could sing.
What band were you in at that time?
I was in a band called Freequilibrium.
Okay. Which, interesting game.
Yeah, the most interesting. The most interesting thing about the band was the name. Quite honestly.
So, I don't know. You tell it.
Well, just somebody had told her that I was in a band, and she said she was a singer, and we're in a loud bar, and I go, "All right, sing me something," and she did, which I was very impressed by. It wasn't the song I'm playing over the sound system. I think you sang me
Plush,
Stone Temple Pilots, and you also sang. Fiona Appleton, which mm-hmm. I can't, a criminal, right?
Wow.
And so I said, damn, she actually stepped up and did it. Because most people say, oh, I can sing. And it's like, oh, but I can't sing right now. You know what I mean? So I was just like, well, hell, and I was really looking to get out of the band I was in because I was just not happy with it. And I wanted to put something together brand new. And I've always been the front man in a band. But I just saw something about her that was really something I could work with, So her and I have been jamming together now for almost 3 years, and before that we were other names that aren't really worth mentioning. And we had a drummer who's still our drummer until the end of this, or next month or whatever.
Right.
And we were jamming with him. We put out an ad for a bass player in the Metro Times, and in walks Venom, 8 days from Tennessee, just got here. This was the first ad we put in, and he was the first guy that came out, and he was the guy.
What brought you from Tennessee up to Michigan?
Well,
were you in any bands down there?
Yeah, I've been in bands for a long time down in Tennessee. I just noticed that the scene in Tennessee is everybody's chasing each other's tail around in the same spot. Everybody's just trying to sound like Seether or...
Oh, yeah.
And, it wasn't satisfying me anymore. So, dropped what I was doing, lost my mind, and moved to Michigan.
So there wasn't anything that drew you to Michigan at all?
Well, that's a double-edged blade right there, because there was a kind of hard times and stuff like that. But finally, I just decided, if I'm young, I'm going to do this. I'm serious about it, so.
And props to him, because, he had, besides a friend that offered, to let him stay there, no job, no family here, no friends,
pretty much
nothing.
The clothes on my back, I moved away.
Yeah.
He got a job on the corner within, 3 days? And then he's in a band, 8 days.
Wow. Yeah. So, of course, the 2 weeks you're in, got a job, got a band.
Yeah,
exactly.
Rocking on. I picked up a copy of Metro Times, and, I'm unaware of the Metro Times and the entertainment magazines, and I saw an ad for a band with a female lead vocalist, and first it just clicked with me. I'm like, I've never done that before. It makes so much sense. I went and tried out, and that pretty much was that.
How long ago was that?
That was
right
July
about a year,
last year.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, I moved here on July 4th. So that's where I say I was celebrating my independence from Tennessee.
I'm just wondering what drew you to Michigan, though. Of all the places out of Tennessee, you go to Atlanta, you go to down to Texas.
The music scene. I heard some...
Cleveland or Chicago even.
Yeah, and I had other offers to go other places and stuff like that, but just my friend who moved here a long time ago, we graduated electronics class together. He moved up here, and he started showing me some of the entertainment, some of the sound of what was going on up here, and I was like, that's what I want, So...
I got you. So what do you guys think of the whole Detroit music scene then?
Well, I've been in it longer than these two pups. I've been in it for quite a while, and it's, it fluctuates. It seems like right now it's really kind of diverse. There's not a particular rock scene or even hip-hop scene. It's all just kind of everybody for themselves. It doesn't seem like there's a really much of a scene at all. It's all just kind of really scattered. So, I mean, I love it personally. I lived in Los Angeles for 3 years and I couldn't stand it out there. It was just so pretentious and everybody's trying to like revive 80s metal and stuff. And I mean, 80s metal was great in the 80s. I don't need it coming back. You know what I mean? If it does, it does. But I'm not going to be a part of it. You know what I mean? So I think Detroit's a great place. I mean, I think with all due respect to those who have come out of here in the last few years, like, I think it needs a little more than a Kid Rock, you know, it needs a little more than an Eminem, it needs a real rock band to come out of Detroit. I mean, I think Jack White's a brilliant guy, but I'm not a big fan of the White Stripes, you know what I mean? So I don't think that people in the rest of the world have any idea what Detroit's really all about.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think what's cool, too, is, like, especially as of recent, like, a lot of bands have been, like, you know, really, like, reaching out to us and, like, wanting to, like, show support and vice versa. And, like, we've been, like, making connections with other bands. And that's what's really cool is, like, I feel like a lot of Detroit bands are trying to help each other and not be, you know, not compete so much.
Yeah, it's not as standoffish as it used to be. It used to be pretty backstabbing scene. I mean, it's like, we're great friends with these guys. Oh, I hate those guys. You're behind your back, you know?
Right.
And I think some of that seems to be dissipating, and I really hope that's the case, because really that's the only way that bands are going to get anywhere is if they tell their fans, hey, come see this band, and, you know, we tell our fans, come see that band, you know? That's the only way. You got to unite to get something done.
And that's how I found out about you guys. I first saw you guys. I heard about you when I interviewed with Broken Day Machine. Mm-hmm. And then they said, of course, you guys played their CD release party a couple months ago.
Right.
And that's when I first heard about you guys. Mm-hmm. I heard you guys live. Saw you guys live and I was blown away. I was like,
oh, thank you very
incredible,
much.
Incredible show live. Danny's got a great voice. You guys play really tight together.
Thank you.
Even with having Kennedy on the drums with you guys, you did great. He did a great job back
then.
We'll give mad props to Broken Day Machine. Woohoo! Yeah. And Mr. Kennedy.
Yeah. He's an excellent drummer. They're a really good band.
Yeah.
They're nice guys too. So
yeah, they gave you guys good props too. So when I interviewed with them, basically the same thing we're doing here.
Very cool.
In the basement of was it Steve's house? Steve's house, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So how'd you guys get the whole sound of the Pills, and where'd the name come from? You guys all have your own names, too. You guys talk about that, like Venom and Megan.
Sure. How did we get our sound?
A lot of the songs were Paul's. And
I never heard that guy.
Who's that guy? Who's that guy Paul keeps talking
about? Is there a member in the band that I don't know
about? Yeah, right.
All right, a lot of the songs were Pagan Pills, but kind of, I mean, if you heard the songs as they were, they're great songs, but they're completely different now. I mean, like, we've all brought our own, we've breathed a new life into the songs, and just kind of, I mean, what we want is just straightforward rock and roll, but with catchy hooks and, you know.
I think one of the facts that makes us interesting in our sound is we're all coming from different backgrounds.
Definitely.
Pagan has, he's been more into like this Motley Crue kind of, you know, and he's done that thing. Mm-hmm. I'm coming from more of like heavy metal, like black metal type thing.
Okay, yeah.
You know, Danielle, of course, you know, she got into the band. This is really her first project, but it's good because she gets to make her own sound.
Exactly.
With what we're giving her, you know. So I think that's one of the factors that gives us a distinct sound.
So do you like the sound that they're giving to you? Since this is your first project, I mean, what do you think about it all?
Yeah, I mean, I'm like thrilled with the direction that we've been going in, and like I think we all keep continuing to impress and, you know, surprise each other, and we're all starting to write together and grow together and try different stuff that, I mean, even a year ago from now, where we've come 1,000%.
Yeah,
big time.
So
I agree.
The Pills came from, like I said, we were other bands, and when the three of us kind of, when Venom came into the picture, we were like, okay, this is a whole new band, it needs a whole new name. And we just actually wrote down a bunch of names, you know, and just kind of went over the list and narrowed it down, and then the Pills came up and we were kind of like, yeah, okay, we all like that, so that's simply enough where that came from, basically.
And why did you decide to have like the different different names, like Venom and Megan and
just kind of.
Danny's just Danny.
You know,
actually, I'm Danny Catastrophe.
Danny Catastrophe.
Danny Catastrophe. Okay.
Yep, Danny Catastrophe.
Pagan Pills, and what's Venom's last name then?
No, it's just Venom.
Just
Venom.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Just, he's just one name.
Yeah.
Just, that's all he needs. He's good enough for one name.
Basically,
like Cher.
Cher.
Oh, God.
Prince.
We'll Prince, yeah. The artist
better.
Formerly.
Yeah, it has a little bit of good.
All right.
But I just, you know, it's as Danny has referred to me several times, you know, my name is Paul, but you meet a lot of guys named Paul. I've never met anybody named Pagan.
No.
I've never met anybody named Venom. And I've certainly never met anybody named Danny Catastrophe. So it's just kind of something to stick in your head. You
it's
know?
Good. It does. It's
thank safe. You.
Although the first time you called me, when you called me and left a voicemail, I thought you said pig.
I know. I knew that. That's right. Like, that's what I think he thinks my name is Pig. So that would be kind of cool, actually.
Then I went to the website. I'm going, Pagan. Okay, maybe I heard it wrong. So that's why when I called you back, I said Peg.
Yeah, right.
I'm like, okay, is it Peg maybe?
I'm like, I said we'll get it straight.
We'll get straight now. I give you
exactly.
So the first time you guys hung out together,
happened? Sean joins a band. And I'm like trying to get us all together. We'll you know we'll hang out, have some drinks, whatever. So we all come over here. Mind you, we've jammed with Sean like once and.
She
don't know him very well.
She told me if I didn't come to this party tonight, she was kicking me out of the band.
I'm like, you're dead to me if you don't come. Right. Wasn't it like a bad, it was a bad snowstorm.
Oh, it was
a
tornado.
Yeah, so it was like
tornadoes
tornado
everywhere.
Warnings.
Yeah, it was a horrible night, man. A horrible weather-wise. Anyway.
So we're all over here, and I get hammered, I pass out.
Which she has a tendency to do.
Yeah, I'm not a puker, I'm a passer-outer. Like, I could be anywhere. I could be, like, standing up. Like, I'm out. Like, once the switch flips.
In the middle of a conversation with her, it's just... out. So
this is a Friday night. It was like the one and only time that I actually, this is at my old job, when I had a meeting at a client's house in South Lyon the next day, like early, like 9 a.m. So the plan was to, I didn't plan on passing out or plan on going home, but whatever. So I passed out and I wake up in the morning like in a panic. I'm already like running late. Paul's in the kitchen doing something and he's talking to me for a solid 5-10 minutes. I'm like, okay, well, I'll see you later. I walk out the door. I catch a glimpse of myself in that mirror over there. Like, instantly started hysterically crying. They had drawn with a Sharpie dicks and cows. All over
me. He drew the cows. I drew the dicks.
Oh, my God. Penises and cows all, I mean, like, they were on my face. They were on, like, my neck. They were on my arms. And it was summertime. So, I mean, they were, like, all, I mean, there was no way that this was coming off without, like, I mean, a solid, like... several hour scrubbing session.
You had to go see
you were on your way to a meeting.
I was
on
right? Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well,
yep.
We were unaware
we
of
yeah.
that
we
night.
We never would have done
no.
that if we had known.
So I had to roll up to these people's houses in like a turtleneck and like I think it's some sort of a cap on. Like,
see, you laugh about
in
it
summer.
Now, though. I told you you would one day.
I was so.
Oh, she was. I was
like, you're
scared.
A victim of spousal abuse or something.
Dude, I pushed out and denied it. I'm like, I don't know what the hell happened. I don't know what those guys
oh,
did.
Yeah,
I
forgot about that. Blame it on Sean. Blame it on the new guy.
Yeah, yeah, blame it on the new guy. It's easy.
Yeah.
That guy called him. I'm like,
he'd only been here for a week or two, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
When I called him, I'm like, dude, I'm like, I never do this, but I threw you under the bus last night, man. I'm like, you're going to have to take one for the team.
It was at that moment. I was thinking, well, that was a nice little romp, you know? Yeah. I was like, I guess that's over with. Get some out of the band. It's like Metro Times.
Pick up another Metro Times. Look for another band. maybe, we're going to go Bill's hiring.
Yeah, what was that number? Did I delete that?
Sean, what was the reason that you left your last band? Well,
yeah,
the Sharpie and some...
Yeah, and some phallic...
Because I can't express myself artistically without people. I have the need to draw cows and penises.
I don't even know where the cow came
and
from.
And you are stifling my creativity, man.
The dick was just obvious to
yeah,
me. I don't
sure.
know where the cow came from. I was
well,
like, all right, well, he wants to get a little more involved with
well,
that.
Well, where I come from, we've got certain party rules, okay? And if you can make it, if you're drunk and you can make it to the back bedroom or any bedroom, you are off limits. That's just the general rule. But if you pass out anywhere else, you're a fair game, especially before anybody else. So, you know... those are the rules I'm used to playing by and was not aware that, you know, she had a meeting the next day.
At least they didn't put any draw anything on your face.
Oh my god!
No, we stopped. I think I might have hit the neck, but
I roll up in a ski mask.
Right.
One, two, three, four.
Influences of the band, I mean, because you guys used black metal for Venom, mm-hmm. hard rock. Danny, I have no idea yet, so we'll start with Danny.
I mean, as far as like performance styles and like female singers that I admire, like I have been getting super into Juliette and the Licks, Juliette Lewis.
Mm-hmm. She was just here recently.
I know she was at Smalls, wasn't she?
She at Smalls. I know she was at another band, and I guess saw some YouTube video of Juliette Lewis playing with somebody else. Some other actress.
Oh, really?
I think so.
Yeah, I know. She was just here not too long ago. She is just an animal on stage. And I'm trying to think who else. Karen O from the Yeah Yeah Yeahs.
Yeah.
As far as her, and she's completely different than anything else that's out there, the way she sings and the way she is on stage. Music, I'm kind of all over the place, but I'm into a lot of heavy stuff, but that's also like melodic, like that goes back and forth from the heavy to, but still has like a beautiful melody, like Deftones, Tool, mm-hmm. Nine Inch Nails.
Really, I cut my teeth. The reason I wanted to start playing bass was Cliff Burton from Metallica, because I heard Anastasia pulling teeth, and I was just like, I've got to learn that. I didn't know how to play bass at that time, so I pretty much taught myself. After that, Les Claypool came into my life. And as odd as that sounds, I actually bought one of his videos and sat there and watched it in my room for about a year until I learned the way he played. You know, I watched his every move, his flamenco style of picking, his slapping techniques and stuff like that, and was just blown away. Incorporated into a, I like to call it dark funk. I don't really have a better name for it, but
slut
it's...
Slut rock?
Slut rock, something like that, you know, horrorcore, something. But yeah, a lot of like Deftones, Mushroom Head, stuff like that, you know, Slipknot, they were all, you know, really big factors of what I was playing at the time. Right now, I'm really into Black Dahlia Murder, which is another Detroit black metal band, and they're just incredible.
Heard of them.
Yeah, yeah.
I heard of them.
I think they're coming pretty soon.
Really?
Yeah. But, yeah, I like the really, like Danny was saying, the melodic, going into the heavy, going into the melodic again, you know, of undertones of the melody
right
in the song. You know, you've got one melody going on, and then you've got this whole completely different back melody going on. That's what I like. You know, that's what inspires me.
My roots are in, you know, I love a lot of like seminal punk, like Sex Pistols and Generation X and, you know, that kind of stuff, which led me to the metal, you know, Motley Crue. Really love Deep Purple. Like, they're an amazing band. I think a lot of the stuff I listen to doesn't necessarily reflect, like, I wouldn't necessarily call it an influence. It's just what I like to listen to. It's not necessarily what I like emulate. But my favorite artist in the world is a guy named Bob Mould, who was in Husker Du, which I wasn't a big fan of Husker Du, but I love Bob Mould, his solo stuff, man. I just think he's an incredible artist, an incredible guitar player, incredible songwriter. I really love Queensryche. I think they're just an amazing rock band. And, I mean, I like the hard rock stuff. Like, a friend of mine that I played in my high school talent show with, John Lowry, who's now John 5, he's in Rob Zombie, he was in Marilyn Manson.
Wow.
And, I mean, I love those bands, and I think John 5 is one of the most underrated guitar players on the planet. So, that kind of stuff. Basically, I like a lot of heavy stuff. I mean, I can kick back and listen to other stuff, too. I love Elvis Presley, too. I mean, I love the Beatles, I love the Doors. I can dig just about anything. Jazz is the one thing that I kind of can't really get into, but I appreciate it. So, that's...
Well, one thing... Well, I'll talk about that in a second, but you guys have a very diverse selection of music varieties. I mean, we talked about it, and it's very cool, and you can hear it in your sound. You guys got to go from rock to like a little soft and more melodic stuff.
She shies away from the soft stuff. She doesn't let me get away with that. I don't know if I'm ever going to do a ballad.
The three songs are on your MySpace page: "Cradle to Fatal." What's the other two songs?
Let Me Down.
Before Your Eyes.
Before Your Eyes is a little more melodic than, if I remember right. Correct me if I'm wrong.
It's probably the heaviest tune, but it's got the catchiest hook. But it is...
It's probably one of the more driving songs.
Yeah.
Okay, that was totally wrong.
That's
I was listening to him this morning.
I think you're thinking of Cradle to Fail.
Yeah, that was the second one I was listening to. So the first one, I think, was Before Your Eyes.
Yeah.
That's where you might hear a little bit of my Queensryche influence there, a little bit.
All right. So who is... Are you the primary writer of all the songs, then?
And
you guys all work together.
We all work together. I tend to write whole songs when I write, so I try and, you know, really kind of... I tend to hear the parts in my head, so I like to try and come up with the hook, come up with the verse. I love to write lyrics. But lately, like, Danielle's written... The newest song that we have is called Glory Hole. And Danielle wrote that herself. And she's got another one in the works. And Venom's got... He's got a lot.
So you're doing it now.
Oh, yeah, I know. I told these guys, don't do that.
These people in the band?
Yeah.
I know.
It's like six more people.
Yeah,
in the band.
Yeah, 12 people.
That was the one thing when before he got here, I'm like, okay, like, is there anything we all need to be on the same page about? And Paul's like, Pagan's like, just make sure, you know, we're all Venom, Danny, Pagan. That's it. And clearly we've done a phenomenal job.
A dozen times over now.
I just want to make the point that I haven't yet.
So. Yeah, you're good.
Right.
Now we're really working a lot more together, is trying to, you know, coherently bring together all these different ideas, all these different sounds, and make it really the Pills sound. So, and honestly, you know, we haven't really found our sound yet. You know, we're kind of on a constant search for really, you know, striving to move on and develop.
And I'm learning how to play guitar. Yes. Paul's teaching me.
Yeah.
Cool.
So.
Again.
Yeah,
again.
It's done. Just,
yeah, exactly. Cat's out of the bag.
Forget the secondary name.
Yeah, exactly.
So where was some of the inspiration for like Cradle of Fatal then? It's one of your songs. So.
That's actually.
And then I'll ask about Danny's song after that. So.
Okay. Yeah.
Because I want to know the story about that. So but we'll talk about Cradle of Fatal first, for example.
It's actually about my cat Tiger that died a couple years ago.
Really?
And I just wanted to write a little tribute song to her, and that's what I wrote, Cradle to Fatal.
That's cool.
That's simple.
It's that simple.
Exactly.
But she was alive for, like, what, like 18 years?
No, she was 14.
Okay.
Yeah. She actually, we weren't the Pills yet, but she actually died the night of one of our shows at the Token, of all things.
The Token.
Yeah. So,
smoking Token.
Yeah. But, so I just wrote a little song for my kitty.
Oh, cool.
I don't know how rock and roll that is, but this is the truth.
It's the truth. At least you're not making something up.
No, I ain't making it up.
Well, 3/4 of the people I talk to, when they hear Cradle to Fatal, they have no clue that it's written about, you know, a cat.
You never know, pretty much
any situation.
Yeah. Right.
You know, just any family member or anybody who's lost anything like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's a total anthem.
That's cool. That's very cool.
Yeah, I try to write from, like, at the everyman standpoint,
right.
I don't like to, you know, like, I love Alanis Morissette, but it's like, she just writes songs out of her notebook. It's like, honey, I don't know those people. You know what I mean? I'm writing about, like, kind of, trying to write about, like, kind of the human experience, the human condition. I know that sounds a little cheesy, but I'm trying to make it apply to anyone that listens.
Right, right.
As opposed to, this is my story. So.
What about Before Your Eyes, then? What's that one? Story behind that one.
The story behind that one is, that one just kind of came together. There's not a particular story about it. I just kind of came up with the riff, came up with the hook, and
is that how most of your songs come together?
More or less. Sometimes I'll come up with a chorus first, and then, you know, kind of like the thesis of a paper, you know, and then, you know, the body is the verses, and
mm-hmm.
you know, just I was one thing I was good in school was English class, so that actually
that
served
helps.
Me. Yeah, that served me well for being a songwriter. But Before Your Eyes doesn't have any particular story. Just kind of going through a rough time and trying to figure it out. A lot of times I write stuff and I don't really exactly know what it's about until I actually sit down and read it back, you know?
Hmm. Okay, so what's Glory Hole about?
Okay, Glory Hole. Well, first of all, do you know what it is?
I might have heard it. You guys played live at the CD.
No, do you actually
know?
Oh, yeah. I know what Glory Hole is, yes.
Okay, so...
But not in the outhouse, as my mom would say.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I heard someone talking about Craigslist, the website, and, you know, obviously it's like a forum where you can go, you know, sell your furniture mm-hmm. or pretty much anything. And then I found out that a lot of people were using it for, there's this whole big news story that people are actually, like, soliciting themselves for sex. And, like, one of the big things that I guess people were doing was, you know, people would come over. And for those that don't know what a glory hole is, am I allowed to say this?
Go ahead.
Okay. Basically, you make an arrangement to meet, and you would come over, the girl would come over, and the guy's laying on the bed with a sheet, and there's just a hole, and you don't see the person's face, and you just do your thing, and then you leave. So the whole song is about basically like these two people that have never met, and basically like fuck all the things that go into a relationship. Like there's a part that says, I won't judge you for lying on your resume. I won't yell at you for leaving the seat up. you don't have to pick my gram up from bingo, no need to tell me if my ass looks fat in these, like all the things that, like, the stupid bullshit that is involved in a relationship, like, forget all that. It's just, the chorus is, this puts a whole new meaning on casual. We forget our problems falling down the glory hole. So it's just kind of a different spin on a really messed up relationship.
I think a lot of her material is going to be very sexually based. I can almost guarantee you that.
But I like writing about, like, the weird, like, just, like, the weirdness. That, not, like, you know, sexual songs, like, I want you, you want me, you know.
The,
like,
weirdness of sex?
Just the weird stuff weirdness? That goes on.
Perversion.
Yeah.
The perverted stuff, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
That intrigues me for whatever reason.
Does your new husband know about this stuff?
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. Right. Yeah. He actually, Glory Hole, he told me last night this is his new favorite song.
Yeah.
And it's a really, really cool song. It's different than anything that we have. It's
kind of bluesy.
Yeah,
which is pretty much different from anything that we play, but it totally fits in the set.
Yeah. Do you guys have recording that yet?
Not yet.
No, that's we played it last night the second time.
Oh, mm-hmm. Wow.
So okay. That's a brand spanking new tune. Not
heard.
Even a month old, I don't think.
So you guys don't really have, like, a strong recordings. You don't have any CD yet available.
We've got eight songs done.
So I'm working on that.
And we're going to do probably three more.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to hopefully have, like, a CD release party probably in the spring when the weather gets a little bit nicer. But it'll be done before that.
Sure.
So we'll send it out to folks like yourself so you can get an earful of it and let people know what you think and have people tell us what they think.
Do you have any title for the name for the CD?
We're going to call it Hard to Swallow.
Okay.
Going with the pills theme.
Yeah.
So
that's good.
No, thank you.
It's going to be a really good CD. I've worked with a lot of different people and a lot of so-called professionals and stuff like that, and I've never been satisfied with the product like I've been satisfied with the pills. Every song on there so far has just been really, really good, and I play these songs pretty much every other night.
Yeah.
And it's hard not to get sick of these songs, but I'm not sick of these songs. I meant sick of songs that you play every
night. Not gonna lie.
Yeah, she always wants new and fresh, man. She's always hungry for excitement, man.
Right. But that's where you know you're on the right track if you can play them over and over and over and over and still, you know, listen to them when you get home, you know.
Plus, we record with a guy named Roscoe. He's
Roscoe's the man.
He used to be in Detroit right around this neighborhood, but now he's out in Southfield, and he does all of Vinny's stuff from Sponge.
Yeah.
And he just gets an absolutely amazing sound. He's a great guy to work with. For my money, he is the best guy in Detroit to record with.
Yes.
So that we got that going for us. That and the fact that we do have a lot of energy live, and I think that we've done really well in capturing the live feel of it, but of course, obviously, with a little polish and spice on top of it. So, I think that we're gonna make a pretty goddamn good record.
Paul always makes fun of me because I don't ever want to do ballads, but I think, like, this CD, what we're going for is just, like, you know, 45 plus minutes of just, like,
ass kickery.
No
ballads at all.
I don't think so.
Oh wow.
No, the slowest song is Glory Hole, and that's like...
But it gets heavy, though.
Yeah,
which is funny, because when I saw you guys live, the first two songs were acoustic.
We've never done anything like that before.
That was the first time you did?
Yeah.
That was the first and only time
cool.
We did that. Oh, thank you.
It was cool. I liked it.
Yeah, well, we were doing it with Kevin from Broken Day Machine, so we didn't want to load him up with too many songs for one set, so we said, okay, we'll do a couple on our own, and then we'll throw him up on there, and that was a fun night, man.
That was a good night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then you did a duet with Broken Day Machine, which is really cool. Which I hope that eventually, as I told you that night, you guys need to record that.
Yeah, no,
I love
that song. I love their material, and it was really cool to be asked to do that. And supposedly,
what was that again?
What's that?
What was the name of the song again?
Buried Alive.
Buried Alive. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And you came in about halfway through, and it was perfect. You had perfect timing on that whole thing.
Cool. Thanks.
And,
yeah, that was all Will.
Yeah.
That was his idea.
Yeah, he's a great songwriter.
Yes.
I'd like to get together with him and write some songs, just he and I, and see what we can come up with, because he's got a lot of ideas.
Oh, yeah.
And it's always great to work with somebody that, you know, you can bounce your stuff off them, and you can take their stuff and, you know, polish it up a little bit, or, you know, I don't mean polish it up, but, you know, add your own thing to it.
So. And that's what's cool about the three of us, is that, like, we honestly, like, have, I mean, this is my first band that I've ever been in, but we all, like, totally capitalize on each other's strength, and like we're musical soulmates. I mean, and especially like in the studio, I mean, that's I think where we shine, you know.
We get shit done incredibly fast in the studio. We don't go
so there's no bad attitudes between any of the three.
No egos.
No fighting, no egos. That's cool. That's good. Well, I heard the same thing for Broken Hand Machine, so that's really cool. So yeah.
What's well?
You and I have been known to go head-to-head on occasion.
Danny and Pig are kind of fire and ice when it comes to ideas, but that's just because they're so passionate about what they believe, you know? And
but it's never like, we're not like going to bed mad, you know? It's always resolved. It's always...
Cool.
Yeah. I've been in bands where the drummer picks up his kit in the middle of the set and throws it at the guitar player, you know? It's like, there's constructive, and then there's destructive, you know? But, you know, it's just how you associate with your fellow team.
Yeah, no, we get along great. We actually are really good friends. We actually hang out off stage, you know what I mean? Like, one thing that I'm a real stickler about is I love to stick around and see the other bands if we're playing early. Sure. You know, I want to see what's out there, you know, and just the camaraderie of it. It's good, like I was saying earlier, to try and get some unity going in the scene, you know, and I have very high hopes for that. I really think that Detroit can be, you know, a great rock and roll city on a national level, because it's always been a great rock and roll city in and of itself, but I think there's so much talent here that there really needs to be some recognition, like, worldwide, man, not even nationwide, of how great this town is, because it really is an incredible rock and roll city.
Is there any bands that you guys know that should be known nationally? Like, you're like, guys are like right here, they should just be
known. We played with Blackmail last night, and I think those guys are awesome.
Yeah, they're really good.
They're really, really, really tight band, really cool guys, really good songs. I think a lot of the times what holds bands back is either they don't have a very good singer or they don't have very good songs. I've seen a lot of really great bands that just don't have the whole package, you know what I mean? And it's like, it's like driving a car with an incredible engine that looks like shit on the outside. Either that or a car that looks incredible on the outside and doesn't have any kind of power to it, you know? So I think that's overall what is sort of symptomatic of the scene to a large degree.
Mm-hmm. One band that we played with actually last weekend is Group Therapy. You ever heard of them?
Yeah, they're really
good. Yeah, I've heard of them.
I dig them big time. They lead singer has a great voice. All their material is really, they're kind of more along lines of like Seosin or like Story of the Year, kind of screamo a little bit, if you will, but I mean, like, still, you know, melodic, good music. All the musicians in the band are phenomenal. I think that they could.
The drummer's incredible. Really, really good guy.
I think that something could happen for them.
Cool. Yeah, because there's a lot of bands that are right on the edge of exploding and they're not really well known.
Yeah. Right.
And it's like, I don't know if you guys heard of Dirty Americans.
Mm-hmm.
It's another band that I think should be well known all over the world. They're not. And Crud, for example. Crud is another one that's just starting to get recognition. They had a song on Knight Rider. That's really cool.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Cool to hear a local Detroit band playing on a TV show premiere.
Well, that's one thing, like Broken Day Machine was saying, that there are opportunities out there like that. If you go on the internet, you can get on a soundtrack.
Yep.
Or I've even noticed in commercials sometimes they'll put now at the bottom of this at the bottom of the screen, like, the name of the artist, the name of the song, and that's really cool. You can go on the internet, download this stuff.
Yeah.
Sonic Bids is like, I'm sure you're familiar with Sonic Bids.
Yeah.
That's a website I was telling you guys about. You can.
What's a website?
Yeah.
She thinks I'm a complete idiot when it comes to the internet, and she's basically right.
Paula has a landline, a cell phone, and.
That's right.
Wow.
What did you say the other day? Oh. He's like something. I saw it on the TV version of the internet. I'm like, what is the TV version of the internet?
I was talking about TMZ. Hey, I don't need a cell phone. I don't need online. I just need a guitar, man. A guitar and hopefully a couple people.
But there's a lot of stuff happening on the internet for music and stuff. I mean, as you mentioned about Sonic Bids and MySpace, just announced their big MySpace music thing that's coming out.
Yeah.
I mean, do you guys have any fans that are not from Detroit that are happening to check you guys out?
We got actually putting out ads for drummers. We got a guy from Houston that said he'd come up here and audition for us.
No kidding.
I swear. So, yeah, there's a few folks out there that are aware of the Pills.
We're trying to reach out. We actually just talked to a band called the Red Line District that's in Chicago, and I think we're going to set up a show swap with them and go play there, and they come play here. So hopefully that'll open doors. in the Chicago area.
Yeah, we are dying to get out of state. Mm-hmm. No offense to Michigan at all. I mean, this is our home, and this is his new home.
Yes. Yes.
But, you know, there's so many great rock and roll towns just within driving distance. Chicago, like you're saying, Cleveland.
Tennessee.
Even Toledo. Tennessee. You know, New York. I mean,
home of Minnie Pearl.
And that's something to be proud of.
Yeah, right.
Look out now.
Well, yeah, that's like I said. The internet opens up a whole new world where you guys can be heard by people in Tokyo or Australia.
What I love about that is that it does somewhat level the playing field for the musicians. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's been the business for so long. And I mean, even like Nirvana kind of came along and said, all right, we can be a garage band and be the biggest thing in the world, you know? So it's kind of that mentality has sort of led itself to the internet now where it's like you can market yourself, like you say, worldwide. From your own living room.
I will go on record saying that I really hate MySpace. I mean, I hate it, despise it, but it's a necessary evil in these times.
It is.
You know, and like you were saying, it evens the playing field. It allows people in Detroit to show their music to people in Tennessee, for example. Let them know, you know, this is what we're about. This is what we sound like, you know, and it's actually worked for us so far. So,
absolutely.
You know.
We got to get our own. Pills.com. We don't have that yet, but
it's coming.
It's coming.
You guys have the domain right.
The
PILZ.
Paul doesn't know what that means.
Oh, kiss my ass.
We will soon.
Keep breaking the name rule.
Yeah.
It's gone to hell.
Can I
you know what? You know what? You know what I'm gonna do at the end of this? At the end of this, I'm gonna have you guys say.
And you just double
it.
Right.
All over. That's what I'm gonna do. At the end of the interview, you guys can say your names separately by each of you.
Right.
So Venom will say Venom or Danny and Pagan, and you'll do the same for everybody. And then I'll just dub them over. So next
sounds
time.
Cool.
You won't even tell the difference.
No. It's, I mean, I go by Pagan Pills. It's no secret. My name is Paul Chase. This is my home. Welcome to Chase Land. You know, and that may actually ring a bell with some people. I used to write for Jam Rag, and I've been on the scene for quite a while, so people probably know that name. But
no, it's just cool because I know you wrote a couple articles for Jam Rag a long time ago.
Yeah, before Tom Ness went crazy and turned himself into a woman.
For real?
Yeah.
So you're going to write for Jam Rag now, then?
There is no more Jam Rag.
There's Jam Rag.
Yeah, it's, they tried to sell it, and then that fell through, and then I don't know what the hell happened. But no, literally, Tom Ness is now Steffi Loveless. If you guys didn't know that, I swear to God, they actually had a Metro Times cover story on him, like about a year ago, and I always knew he was an interesting person, but I didn't realize he was that committed to his beliefs. But he is.
Yeah. See, that's some of this you can write a song about.
Yeah, there you go.
It could be weirdness. Called, like, it's Go easy. Balls Out.
Or,
get it?
There you go.
Yeah, because there's this, and don't ask me how I found this, there's this guy on the internet, actually was a female, and now he turned himself into male from the middle up.
Okay.
So he's female from here down. And he's got tattoos all over the place, he's got a goatee, he smokes a cigarette, cigar, I'm sorry, and he has sex with guys.
Well, it's like the pregnant man, allegedly.
Yeah, it's the same kind of thing. It's
still a woman,
kind of thing,
you know.
Exactly.
But
so they could write a song about that somehow.
All right.
So I'm giving you ideas.
Yeah, the material, love it.
Well, the material now, yeah. Okay.
Buck Angel is his name, so look him up.
Buck Angel.
That's okay. Right. She's working on one now about, you want to tell them about that, or?
Yeah, I just wrote, see, when I write, it's hard for me, obviously, because I can't play guitar, and I do play the piano, but I don't have a keyboard or a piano right now. So either like I'm hearing like the music in my head and trying to go with, you know, what I have up here, but normally I'm just writing the lyrics first and then bring it to these guys and working on something together. But the lyrics that I'm working on right now is, are you familiar with plushies and furries?
Yeah.
Okay.
I won't ask how.
No.
The song is about that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Interesting.
Perversion, I'm telling you this.
You just have a separate album all about songs
sexual fetishes.
Pills Gone Wild.
Yeah. Right.
Nice.
The album CD number 2. Right there. Glory Hole and what's the name of the song? Do you have any?
Yeah. Feathers and Fur.
Feathers in Fur.
I like it.
That's why I love Danny right there. See, you know, she thinks outside the box. There's not a whole lot of people in Tennessee writing songs about plushies and glory holes.
No.
If they do write, they write it in the penthouse and lie about it, you know? So I'm glad we can musically express these needs, so to speak.
Yeah, when I saw you guys live, you did a cover version of KT Tunstall's Cherry Horse and Cherry Tree. No, Horse and Cherry Tree.
Black Horse and Cherry Tree.
Black Horse and Cherry
Tree,
thank you.
Right.
That was really cool. You did a great job.
Cool, thank you.
What made you decide to want to cover that song?
We actually, I think that was Paul's idea, and we wanted to put... Such a cool song, and she has a great voice, and you know what she does with it is so cool, but we wanted to put like a little rap spin on it.
Yeah.
And we do that in almost every single set just because it goes with our song so well, and
everybody liked it when I saw it.
We try not to replicate covers. We try to put our own little spin on them, you know, and try and, you know, keep it as close to the original as possible where people can still identify it if they heard it without knowing the name of the song, but put our own spin on it as well. It's hard to do sometimes, but when you make it work, it really works. You know, people identify with it and, you know, get your foot in the door a lot of times in people's opinions. You know,
it actually catches people's attention if they weren't listening. It's like, oh, wow, I know that song.
People need to identify with stuff. They need to. I mean, even if your originals are really good, they still need that little bit of comfort zone. Okay, well, they do this tune and that tune, and generally the covers that we do light the place up. Like we'll do Song 2 by Blur, and that always goes over big. Sanctuary by The Cult. What were we talking about? Y Control before? Okay. That was her. That was all her.
Y Control by the AAS.
Oh, okay.
It's not a... The cool thing about that is I love that freaking song. And some people know it, some people don't, but it's one of those songs to where it's obscure enough to where if you heard someone do it, you're like, wow, and you know it. It's right. Cool because it's not, you know, a super, super well-known song.
Yeah, it's not a hit, really, I would call it.
Yeah.
Do garbage. Only happen when it rains. We haven't done that in a while, though.
Let's do it tonight.
Might do it tonight.
Yeah, it was last night between Garbage and Sanctuary. And I chose Sanctuary.
You should let the crowd pick. Sanctuary always wins.
Yeah, it does. That's a great song, man. It's oldie but a goodie.
Yeah.
What really tripped me out is that the drummer from the Amino Acids was like, I love that Cult song. We're all big Cult fans. I'm like, I wouldn't have figured that, but you know how it was, you know?
I raised you.
guys had any weird stuff that happened on stage at all? Like the crazy stuff that happened when you're playing live?
By weird, do you mean like a train wreck?
Yeah, that'd be good. That'd be good.
Because that happened about 2 weeks ago. I mean, keep in mind we've been playing for a year, like I said, you know, about 40 gigs. And thank God that nothing, we've been lucky. I mean, and everything's gone well 95% of the time. We played at a bar, which I won't name, a couple of weeks ago. We were told we were going on at like, I don't know, 10-ish. We had a bunch of people there who almost all of them end up leaving because we kept getting pushed back and pushed back. We didn't go on until 1:20. Well, we ended up just getting way too drunk.
Yeah.
And had a lot of...
In our defense, we were in the bar for 8 hours.
Yeah. In this bar, there is nothing...
Yes.
There's a few.
Yeah.
There's a few libations.
And there was a lot of shots, which we never do. We always just try to keep it to a couple beers and that's it. But there was shots for everyone. and the frustration is building
as the shots are kicking in.
And as we're seeing everyone that came to see us and drove from however far away leave one by one.
Exiting. Mass exiting.
We were pissed. So.
I had two people from Tennessee to come see us.
No.
From Tennessee.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Wow. We gave them a show.
We did.
We'll just put it this way. We played, I think, 4 songs or 5 songs. Then we just decided to call it a night. And then
But we did get an encore.
Yeah.
That's the amazing
strangely
thing.
Strangely enough.
And it wasn't pity. It was genuinely, I want to see more of this train crash.
I think it was more like a car wreck type thing.
Why was it such a train crash or car wreck, train wreck, whatever?
That night, it was funny because just like everything that could go wrong did.
Yeah, I've had many, many Spinal Tap moments, and that night I had a good half dozen probably. My pedal went out. I break strings all the time, and I broke a string. Went to the back of the guitar, it was all out of tune, just...
We false started like 1 or 2 songs, and had to start out like in the wrong key. I just had like a crazy case of beer going where I just like could not find like...
She's talking about how she's going to skull fuck the audience. Yeah, you're proud about that. Yeah. You want to tell the story, we're telling the story. I will skull fuck you all. Everyone's like, yeah. I'm like, no.
Lost my voice and it ended. It could not have been more perfect with me going to just bolt up the stage. I have a beer in my hand. I slip and I fall like a fall out of a movie where both of your legs go up from under you and you land on your back. My beer smashed. It goes everywhere. Pagan goes to help me and he does the same exact thing. So we're both just laying there.
I have bruises on my back the next morning. I'm like, Teddy, punk.
Keep in mind, at this point, me and Ryan are still on stage. Looking at each other like, oh my god, what do we do?
And poor Ryan, he doesn't drink, so he's just...
Yeah, he was sober.
He was a show in itself for him, man.
Right. Oh, wow.
it was a fantastic
And then
disaster.
Short, the next day is when Ryan told you he wasn't going to be in the band, right?
Shortly thereafter, right? I'm going to lie.
Maybe a day or two to call about it.
Maybe a week or two. I've often wondered about the coincidence or lack thereof of that myself.
But it's like one of those things to where, like, the next day we're like, all right... You know what? We're just gonna...
Never happened.
Yeah.
you're telling them right now.
It's recorded now, so...
Yeah, everybody knows that.
We had somebody in the audience to film it.
Got about
4 to 5 songs done, and I had the privilege and honor of watching this film. I would rather get 7 root canals in a row.
Is it on YouTube somewhere now?
No, we destroyed the last copy.
I was forced to make one last copy and delete everything else. Like I'm in Spy Games, and took the copy up here, and Danny broke it.
I almost got plastic in her eyes.
Yeah, beautiful.
Breaks the CD. He's like,
almost an accident with that
patch on the next day.
Oh wow! Yeah, it was quite a.
Yeah, it was, and we still got paid and got an encore. So
I know.
Could have been worse. Yeah.
How many people were actually in the audience at this time?
For 120, there was a decent amount.
Dude, there was five bands there that night, including us. Every band stuck around to watch the Pills because
the whole night, we were hyping. You guys got to stick your head.
Then they got quite a show.
Yes, they did. The cast from the band called The Guys, God bless them, they sent us a really nice email. It's just like, you know, it's really tough to do what we do, and every now and then you have one of those nights, and just, you know, you've soldiered through it, and just move on, and that's pretty much what we've done.
So you can do.
And that's, I mean, that's really the worst of the worst. Like I said, I've had Spinal Tap moments where it's just, you know, my cord shits, or my fucking pedal shits, or something, just, and I'm up there troubleshooting as they're finishing the song, you know. I'm just like, God damn it, you know, just knocking everything, trying to figure out what's going on. But that was definitely the most spectacular disaster.
Again, if you're gonna fuck up, you gotta
We do it big.
Yeah,
Pills.
Yes, we do.
The only thing that was missing was like someone shitting themselves. Like if that would have happened,
Danny going to the perverse again.
Yeah, always.
Once again, she goes right to the perverse. Yes, there's some skeletons in her closet.
There's actually no skeletons. Everything is out in the open.
She lays it out there then. Okay.
There you go. Yeah, the bones are all on the table now.
Wow. So, you guys, what's the future for the Pills then? You guys keep playing pretty regularly in Detroit. You're playing
all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Bullfrog tonight.
Yep,
playing there pretty regularly. I understand.
Yeah,
that's cool. So,
got a little limited engagement going with the Bullfrog on Saturday nights through October, with Double O, which is
Double O in Redford. We're playing at the Factory in Rochester, which is a new place that just opened. Just trying to play out as much as we can, and you know, just.
Are you guys trying to play every weekend, pretty much? At least
we have been.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, we have like 10 or 11 shows booked within the next month and a half. So I think come December, that's when we're really going to hammer down and try to write more and finish up the CD.
Yeah.
And like Paul said, like Pagan said, in the springtime.
It's gone to hell.
Yeah.
It's
gone, yeah. In the springtime, just have a badass blowout CD release party.
This next summer is really going to be the summer of the Pills. No question about that. We'll play Detroit as often as possible, but we definitely need to branch out a little bit. And we're getting ready to drop a bomb on the city.
Yeah, cool.
I mean, in the last year, we've played, God, it'll be close to 40 shows, and that was with, I was in LA for 2 months. So I mean, basically in 10 months, we've played 40 shows. We'll have recorded a CD, you know, or the better part of a CD, and just made some really good connections. So it's been, we're on fire right now, if I may say.
Absolutely.
So we're all excited and passionate.
That's hopefully puts the fire out.
Keep it going. Impossible.
Impossible, right?
Yeah. We're fireproof.
That's on record now. Cool. I'm looking forward to hearing the stuff. Where's the, so you don't have a website yet, but you guys have the MySpace page.
Exactly.
MySpace.com/
The Pills. P-I-L-Z.
Yeah. Last night, the guy thought we were the Piles.
The Piles?
Oh, yeah.
So, I wanted to tell him that the E was silent.
But, we're doing our thing. We're trying to keep the rock and roll rolling, man. Trying to keep the old stone rolling.
Cool. And the CD is going to be coming out hopefully next year. Early next year. Hard to swallow. Mm-hmm.
Spring.
Yep. Cool.
Yeah.
Good. Anything else that you guys would like to talk about or before we wrap this all up?
I just want to say for every person out there who's listened to us or come to any of our shows, you know, we have so much mad love for you guys.
Yeah, thank you. Absolutely.
You are our lifeblood. You know, we will continue to just lose sleep and write and play every night as long as you guys continue to listen. And I just want to express my appreciation.
Aww.
Can't say it better than that.
Yeah, that's it.
I can't top that.
Beautiful. I just got a tear in my
eye. I only stayed up till like 4, you know, just writing that.
Is that that what you were practicing on the street when I pulled up?
No, he's running for president in 4 years.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm writing a song for John McCain.
Oh, God.
I heard he's got some open slots now, right now.
Who won the title of that song be?
You're never going to make it. It ain't going to happen.
Ain't going to happen. Right? Ain't going to happen.
At least the chick with glasses. No, yeah. That's terrible.
Caught like Barack and Roll or something like that.
Barack and Roll. I saw somebody with a t-shirt that said that, Barack and Roll.
Oh, really?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's pretty cool. Alright, well, thanks guys for
thank you so much
for taking the time. Thank you.
You've been listening to IR Detroit, part of the Insomnia Radio regional family of shows. For detailed show notes and band links, head over to detroit.insomniaradio.net or to subscribe and get it delivered, feeds.feedburner.com/IR Detroit, or just look for us in iTunes. Thanks for listening.